good sollte es.com. Father, we thank you for the privilege of learning from you again today. Thank you because you are set to show us how we can react our way to good success. Be magnified in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray today that no one returns back the same way. Let everyone have an encounter they will never ever recover from. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Amen. The topic remains 7 secrets of good success, how to break from obscurity to limelight. How do we break from obscurity to limelight? We started this series a few weeks ago and we had this session. This should be the 8th one. So this is part 8 and it's supposed to be 7 in the series, but because we had Love Productivity twice, and that's why we have everything as 8. So we started from the law of contentment. That's the very first one we did, the law of contentment, and then we were able to go through the law of flexibility and also the law of instant action, the law of stability, the law of productivity 1 and 2, then the law of efficiency last week. And today we are looking at the law of reaction. The truth is this: nobody really cares about why you are reacting or acting. Everybody cares about your action. Most times people don't say, oh, because he was angry, because that person cheated on him, or because that person said some wrong words, that's why he is behaving the way he's behaving. They just said, oh, he behaved that way, and then that breaks the news. So you and I want to get to a point that we own our actions and our reactions. And because the truth is, you will not be judged because of the reason behind your action. You and I will be judged based on the action itself, why we do things we did. So the Bible says God is the one through whom actions are weighed. He weighs your actions, he weighs my actions. Let's read the scripture. It's Romans chapter 12 verse 14, and it says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. That means you have the option to actually curse back and to persecute your persecutors. But it says you should give blessing. It says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals on fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, the last sentence summarizes everything. Don't let your reaction be based on people's actions. Don't let circumstance determine your actions. No. Have a set rule on what you need to do per time. Let the fruit of the Spirit guide you and I in every area of our lives. So, what is an action? The fact or process of doing something, maybe to achieve an aim or goal. Action, we should know, always precedes reaction. If somebody reacted, it's because there was an action that made him react. So, we want to own our actions or our reactions. What is a reaction? The dictionary also defines it as an action performed or a feeling experienced in response to a situation or an event. So it could be because somebody did something, it could be because something happened, a situation happened, failure, success, fear, anger, sadness, enjoyment. You will have to react to these things one way or the other. But God is saying, hey, it doesn't matter why you are reacting. What your reaction is what will be judged. For example, Jesus reacted to Peter. Peter was saying all manner of things that were not consistent with the things of the kingdom. They were good things. They were supposed to be nice things. But Jesus rebuked him and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. He looked at Peter and indirectly called him Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Because Peter was not walking in line with the word of God. That was the reaction from Jesus. And then there was a time that people were actually killing Jesus. He was being crucified on the cross. He was going through pain and all manner of pain that you cannot even imagine. And guess what Jesus said? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, Jesus could have reacted by calling fire from heaven, by doing all the things he had power to do. But this time around, he chose his reaction. He chose what he was supposed to do at this time. And he said, "God, forgive them." That's Jesus. Then there was a time Paul was being followed by a girl who had the spirit of divination. And then the one, the two, the three, this girl was saying all manner of things that looked godly, that looked like things consistent with the things of the kingdom. Yet, Paul permitted it for 3 days, which shows that whatever you permit in life actually continues. So, Paul permitted it day one, day two, day three, and then the third day said, "Hey, this is the spirit of the devil trying to proclaim the gospel. It cannot be for good." And he rebuked that demon, and the demon came out of her, and the girl was released. That was Paul. It took 3 days for him to react, which promotes the word that whatever you permit actually continues. How was Elijah reacted to the young children that was following him and seeing all manner of things? Like some times ago, there was a pastor that came to our house then and he was talking about it. And I guess maybe by the Spirit of God, I just said, maybe those children are possessed. Because unlike today that, you know, you see pastors, you react to them, you play with them. Those days when you see a prophet, you are scared because you don't know whether he has come for blessing or for judgment. People are scared of Elijah. They know what his master did, caught fire down from heaven, and they've seen all that Elisha also did. And then children gathered together and started singing all manner of songs, molesting and making jest of the prophet. And how did Elijah react? He caught fire from heaven. Those are just examples of reactions in the Bible. What are types of reactions? Normally, in the dictionary, if you check, they will talk about anger, about fear, about sadness, about disgust, about enjoyment. These are different types of reactions. But today, our focus is what should be my reaction in different areas of life, in different situations. What should be my reaction? How should I react? When should I react? What should be my action? What should I do when people also decide to do their own things? How should a husband react to the wife when the wife does something annoying? How should a wife react to his husband when he does something annoying? How should a friend react to a friend? How should a boss react to an employee? And how should an employee react to a boss? So, how should you react? Number one, the guiding rule goes back to Galatians chapter 5, starting from 21. It tells us what you always determine your reaction at every point in life. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." So, number one, when you want to react, you want to check, is this out of love? Then joy. If sadness tries to weigh you down, the joy of the Lord give you a chance to pull down that sadness. Love, joy, peace. When your heart is under pressure, when you are under pressure to take an action, when you feel like, "Oh, everybody has gone ahead, let me just react this way." When you want to take an action or you want to go in a particular direction, and then you suddenly lost peace in your heart, how do you react? Check for that peace. Long-suffering is talking about patience, permitting something to happen for a long time. Patience. Align others to even cheat you at times. Patience. Long-suffering. And all manner of things that that scripture talks about. This should be the guiding rules. So we'll take some of these things one by one. How would you react to hatred when you see that somebody hates you? Somebody is showing to everybody, openly, directly or indirectly, that they hate you. How do you react? The Bible tells us in that scripture we open today. It says, "Repay no one evil for evil." It says, "If your enemy is hungry, feed him." So, respond to hatred with love. Love should conquer that hatred. If that person is sending you the waves of hatred, don't accept it. Use love to clear it off. Use love to dispel it. Love definitely covers a multitude of sins. I remember when I was in school and where I was living, there was a lady that we were living in the same house together. Of course, different flats. So, I can't remember what I did. She offended me. And, you know, I was angry. I don't know whether I talked angrily. I can't remember. But I noticed that after that time, she wasn't greeting me again. She wasn't talking to me. And I was like, this girl offended me. I should be the one angry. And the Holy Spirit forced me to apologize to her. That apologize to this person. And I apologized. And eventually, I can't remember, but I think I eventually led her to Christ after a while. So what love can do, hatred cannot even go close. Love will melt even the hardest of hearts. So when people show hatred to you, show love. They are hungry, feed them. They need something, they are losing an opportunity that you are aware of, show them. Show them that you are better. Show them that you are like Jesus. Jesus said, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, only if you have love one for another. So Jesus was talking to his disciples. If you have love within yourselves, that's when people will know you are my disciples. And then let that love spread to others, just like I did on the cross. They were killing me. I'm their creator. Yet they were crucifying me. But you know what? Father, forgive them. I believe if Jesus said at that time, Father, destroy them, God will have probably destroyed them, because God will not reject the prayer of Jesus, but said, forgive them. And God said, oh, okay, paid in full. I forgive them everything. How should you respond to abusive relationships? Now, this is taking a new turn. If you have not listened to that episode on how to overcome odds, please listen to it. This one takes care of this very well. But I'll just touch on it a little. If you're in an abusive relationship, that's talking about marital relationship, friendship, business, whatever it is, and somebody who is supposed to show a level of respect to you keeps showing disrespect over and over again, how do you respond? You respond with resistance, not with hatred, but you resist that action. You don't let it continue. So for example, we've heard over and over again how somebody just died in a marriage because the husband was beating them, and probably vice versa, their wives that beat their husbands. And you know, they just continued and continued and continued in the name of, oh, I'll just, you know, it will change. No. You respond with resistance. How do you respond with resistance? Number one, remember that what you don't resist continues. Sometimes people don't know that what they are doing against you is wrong. So when I say abuse now, it doesn't mean physical abuse. It could be any form of abuse. Now, people may not know that what they are doing is wrong. So number one, find a way to talk respectfully and show that person that what they are doing is not the best, is wrong. That's number one. But if it persists in marriage, there's a different way to treat this. Please listen to that episode. It is permitted for somebody to walk out of that house. If somebody is beating you and eating you, number one, the Bible says a man who doesn't provide for his own house is worse than an infidel. So that person already qualifies as an infidel. So number one, the first thing you do is save yourself. Walk out of that house. It doesn't mean you've walked out of that marriage. Walk out of that house. That vicinity where you have been abused physically. So you may need to walk out and then find a way to help the person. Now you can talk to somebody that person respects and all that. So listen to that episode. I think it's balanced. So if it's not marriage, you know, you're living in the same house with somebody or in the same apartment or whatever, and they are doing things to inconvenience you, they are always partying, they are always making noise, man, find a way to talk to them where they can hear. And if not, for the name of peace, you may want to move out, if you can move out. So that's how to deal with that. That one, you show love, but you know what? You resist it. You find a way to get out, because you need your life and you need yourself to be in peace and not in pieces. Number three, how do you respond to the devil? React with war and fierceness. The devil is not a gentleman and he doesn't know gentleness and all that. No. React with fierceness. You see the devil showing his ugly head in your health, in your marriage, in your business. And this is definitely the act of the devil. What do you do? Fierceness. Devil, I rebuke you. Take your dirty hands off my business. Take your dirty hands off my family, of my marriage. Sometimes many of the things we worry about, they are just the direct act of the devil. So what do you do? You have the authority, you have the power. Resist him immediately. The Bible says resist him, steadfast in the faith. Even if it looks as if he's not hearing, you remain steadfast in the faith and rebuke him and cast him out. devils, demons, witchcraft, see any appearance of that in any area of your life, resist and reject it. Delays and all that, resist it by the name of Jesus. How do you respond to failure? You have treated, how do you respond to hatred? How do you respond to abusive relationships? How do you respond to the devil? We've talked about that. Then number four, how will you respond to failure? When you look at this year, maybe you've not been able to hit your goal, or in business, in life, in marriage, in whatever area of life. How do you react to that failure? So number one, you need to agree that, oh, I did not succeed in this area. I did not eat my target. I was supposed to eat this target in business or life or whatever, but I didn't eat it. What do? Do you give up or do you stand up? How do you respond? Stand up. The first thing you should do is respond to failure with knowledge. You need to understand how you got to where you are. If you're going to Lagos from Ibadan in Nigeria, for example, and then you find yourself on your way to the east or somewhere else, what do? You stop. You check, hey, where did I come from? Okay, that's the wrong road. So looking back is permitted when you fail, because you want to check, how did I get to where I am? Or you fell down. Like the adage in Yoruba, it says, when a child falls down, he looks forward. When an adult falls down, he looks back. Why is he looking back? He's checking, why did I fall? So that I won't fall again. So you want to look back and say, hey, how did I fall down? How did I not hit this target? What did I not do right? What did I do wrong? Then you sit down. What is the sitting down about? You are checking and taking an account of the situation. What did I do wrong? What did I not do enough? Did I not know something? Most times, failure is as a result of the lack of proper knowledge. You just don't know enough. That's why we fail most times. We don't have enough knowledge. So you want to sit down and say, okay, I didn't have enough knowledge about management, about time management, about relationship with people, whatever. Now, let me sit down and get knowledge. What knowledge do I need to get? Now begin to get books, get counseling, and all that. Then sit down, do a recount yourself, pray, and then God will show you the way out. Then the next thing is to go forward. Don't sit down just recounting and recounting. Some people are there recounting for decades and say, when I was in the ministry of this, then I was fired, and then that's how my life is where I am. So after that, what did you do? Did you just remain the same? No, that's not what we should do. We should take a step and go forward. The Bible says you have dwelt on this mountain too much. You have revolved, analyzed, checked, read. Now take a step. That is the way forward in the next year. Taking a step. How did I not meet my target this year? Then I do a recount. Oh, I lack knowledge about sales. I lack knowledge about administration. I lack knowledge about speed. Then how do I make a change? Get books, get knowledge, get counseling, then go forward. So failure and delay is often a revelation of ignorance or laziness. Maybe I didn't do enough. Maybe I was just lazy. Maybe I watched too much movie. Then instead of watching movie for 4 hours a day, now I cut it down to maybe 30 minutes or 1 hour the whole day. Or maybe it's only 1 hour a week or 2 hours a week, depending on how fast I want to go. So look back. Just look at it as if you are driving a car. If you drive a car and all you do is look forward, the person is probably going to crash eventually. Or something is just not going to work the way the person thinks it should. See, driving includes looking back, looking sideways, and looking forward. When you look back, you're saying, what is the action of those behind me? Now, if you're going forward, you're just going on your own, pretending as if nobody can eat you. Have you ever driven before or seen somebody before? He was just driving on his own and somebody eating from the back. Now, that is not his fault, nothing, but life just happens to have eaten. That's just it. So, you look back, what happened? Maybe if I saw that guy, I would have just, moved away from him as much as possible. So looking back, then the only problem is when you look back too much, then the future is not in view. So you look back a little to see, okay, what's happening behind me? Okay, good. Let me just move forward. Even in business, there's a lot of competition. So you have to look back. You have to look at the people coming, because they are coming with full force to overtake. So you have to check. What are they doing? Oh, they changed. I'm using V6 engine. They're already in V8. Oh, I need to upgrade. So you are checking all those things. Then looking sideways, What are the reactions of people? How are people behaving around me? Because these are the things that often make us feel. People that you don't even have any business about, they just distract you, call you to go to where you don't want to go, and all those things. So check your side mirror in life. What are these distractions about? Why is this person coming too close to me? Am I moving away from my line? Now, when you drive on a highway, there will be a line that separates one lane from the other. Am I moving too close to that person, or the person is moving too close to me? Maybe I should change my gear and move faster. So you want to look sideways. So that's how you respond to failure. Look sideways a little, look back a little, but forge ahead, because now you are now informed. Then number 5, how will you react to success? Will you just sit back and relax, laxity, or with pride that, oh yes, I'm good. If not because I worked hard, I wouldn't have gotten there. That man in the Bible, that the rich fool, he worked so hard, did everything he should do, and his land brought forth. See that word? The Bible said his land brought forth plentifully. That means his land could have somehow may have not brought forth plentifully, but it's brought forth plentifully because God's grace was with him, and he never gave glory to God. He never talked about anyone else. And God said, you know what? You are taking your life, because we don't need more people like you. We need people who can return glory to God. So how will you react to success? You have done everything you should do, and now you have 10 times the success you think you have. How do you respond? How do you react? Law of reaction. Respond to success with number 1, thanksgiving. Knowing the one who really gives you the success. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God and not of men. Whatever you think you have in your life, God put it there. You are just an earthen vessel, but the glory of God made a difference. Remember, you are made from clay. It is the breath of God that gave you an eye life. So check everything and respond with thanksgiving. Then do a review of what brought the success. Just like failure, check, what did I do this year? Did I focus more on my strength this year? Did I invest in this direction? Check. Do a recount. So maybe you have to do more in that area, or ask God, and God says, no, that's not how you're going this year. You're going the other way. And God says, yes, improve on that. So you want to do a review or a recount of how you got to this place of success. Then bring about a renewed strategy for more wins. So if you had success in one area or the other this year, then you want to put more effort to be able to go higher next year, because the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. So it should be better. This year should be better than the last. And that's the portion of every believer. And I pray that will be your portion and my portion this new year, in Jesus' name. Then renew your strategy for more wins. Then react to enjoyment and abundance, which always comes with success. When there's enjoyment, there's abundance, you now have everything. Before, you know, you are struggling to even get granola to drink your gari and all that. Now you have your own full of food that you don't even need. How do you react? Give glory to God. That's how to react to that. Then number 6, how will you react when you are angry this year? When you are angry from now onwards, how do you react? Do you react with anger? Do you react talking all manner of things against the people you're angry with? No. The Bible says, be angry and do not sin. Ephesians 4:26. It says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't keep malice. Don't keep people in your heart. Your heart is too small to keep others there. So respond to anger with the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace. Repay evil with good. Give goodness to people, repay with evil. That's how to react with anger. If you're angry, take deep breath. Take a fresh walk and come back refreshed. Remind yourself that you're a child of God, and your anger must not take you over. Then how will you react to fear? Most times when we are going into a new year, whether you agree or not, fear is one of the things that also want to come and visit you and I. And like, I hope I won't feel again the way I feel this current year. I hope the same stress, the same delay, the same challenge that I face this year will not happen the next year. That's what the devil wants to bring. And every time you want to venture into a new life, you know, the devil will always bring fear, because he wants to lose out. But remember, every time you see fear, just know the devil is the one at the back end. Fear is just a loudspeaker. There's always somebody behind the microphone. It's the devil. The devil and ignorance, they are partners in fear. The solution to fear is not to freeze, Do you freeze or you light up? You light up. Don't freeze and just stay in one place like, oh, you are scared, you can't take the next step. No. Fear will always come. In fact, the truth is this. If you don't feel any fear, if fear doesn't come to attack you, maybe you are not trying to do something big. Ask people who have built great mansions or great businesses if they have never faced fear. No, they faced fear. Fear came their way. But because there was something else to respond to that fear, you see, Smith Wigglesworth that was quoted as saying, when fear knocks the door, send faith to open it, and you find that there's no one there. So, don't freeze up. Don't just say, I'll stay in this place. I'll stay in this comfort zone. It's better just to, you know, keep calm and just stay where you are instead of venturing into the future. No. Stand up, because fear will always come. All my life, I've always seen fear coming. Whether I'm doing something worth 1,000 naira, something worth thousands of dollars, fear will always come. But what do I do? God has helped me. I'll just take the step. Even when I'm not sure, I'll just take the step. See, when you take the step, fear will always go. You will still face another higher fear, but you take the step. Just be filled with enough knowledge. Know that this is the will of God. Know that this is the plan of God. And respond to fear with faith. How is that faith going to come? It's going to be fueled by the word of God. See, it doesn't matter whether there is fog on the way or there is darkness on the way. If you have a car that is full of fuel and the engine is good, the headlamp is good, you can drive in the night. Of course, if it's safe, you can drive in the night and the car is still going to work. The darkness is there. But once you have a headlamp, you move. Once you drive and you move, you eventually get to your destination. So, this new year, as you're going in, don't let the failures of the past or the challenges of the past or even the success of the past hinder you from going forward. How do you react to fear? Don't freeze up, but light up. Fill yourself with knowledge. Fill yourself with the wisdom of God. And then you will see that it's going to be cheaper to achieve success next year than it is this year. And I pray that as we all step into the new year, we'll begin to experience unusual success in the name of Jesus. And I pray that as we take our steps of faith, may God empower you and I in Jesus' name. And please, don't miss the next 7 episodes. I don't know if it will start next Sunday. So next Sunday, we won't have a live broadcast, but I will record a broadcast and put it out there so you can just listen to it. Because I know by 9 p.m., most people are either in church or on their way to church for the new year. So we are not going to have a live broadcast next week. But I will record and put it down. We are going to be having a series next for us to know, how do we actually achieve success this new year? What are the things it will take? Failure often comes because of ignorance, because we don't know exactly what it takes to actually achieve the success. So what will it take to achieve success this year? In different areas of life, there are things you and I need to do. There are things we need to learn. So those are going to be the things we do for the very first 7 weeks of the new year, so that we can hit the road running. And by God's grace, we're going to have like materials that can guide us, a checklist that you know that, okay, have I done this to achieve success? And you tick it. Have I done this one? Have I done the other one? Then you can tick all those things so that you can enter the new year, not just with resolution or vision or prophecy. Prophecy is good, but there is hard work behind the prophecy. So how do we get to the hard work? God is the one showing you the plan. There is no problem with the prophecy coming to pass. There is only problem if you and I don't do what it takes. So we want to be able to have that checklist of, okay, have I done this one? Then you tick it and you know that you are on your way to success. I'm telling you, people are achieving success. People don't even pray. So what about you and I who are children of God? Yeah, wish you all Merry Christmas and enjoy, rejoice, and remember Christ. And tell others about Christ also. Praise God. So enjoy the new year. And I think this is the last time we'll be speaking live episode till next year. Please. So you'll be hearing my voice in the recording I will send. I don't know if it will be a full episode or just a goodwill message, so to say. So, but until then, see you and stay ever blessed in Jesus' name. And part of your resolution this new year is how many people you will bring to the episode. So, bye everyone. Stay ever blessed. Yeah.
A good success has come.